Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker, tell folks how they can get the podcast. What is a podcast, Walker?
A podcast is just an archive or a recording of our show today. So after the show, we'll post it as a podcast.
That mean, and you can download that?
That's right.
And listen anytime, anywhere to the show?
That's right.
So the show magically goes from our computer into somebody's what? Phone?
Yeah, their phone, their computer, their tablet, however they want to listen.
Transferred over.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Easy to do?
That's right. You can go to our website, afr.net, and listen to the podcast, or you can download the American Family Radio app, the AFR app. And then lastly, on your phone, whether you have an Android or an Apple, you can just go to the podcast store on your phone and subscribe to the Today's Issues podcast. There you can also listen directly on your mobile device. So various ways to listen.
Are there any other kind of phones besides Apple or Android?
Yeah, there's a few others. Those are just the two. Those are the two phones that make up the vast majority of the market.
Steve Jordahl, good morning, Steve.
Good morning. You know, I often tune into AFR programming on Roku on my TV.
We got that too.
Yeah, it's very cool.
We got that option, Walker?
We do.
So people who have Roku know what we're talking about.
Yes.
Roku, what do you just type in American Family Radio?
You got it.
Yeah. You have to load the program or load the app onto your TV or through Roku and then just go there.
Mm-hmm.
I still got satellite TV. Am I behind the times or
I had satellite or cable, but it just got too expensive. and that right. was my choice because I kept right. adding have this package, but yeah, Roku's
Ray, what do you got?
Used to have satellite and then moved over to Google Fiber. And then got a lot more stuff for a lot less money. And people do the Sling TV and they do Roku. And I don't know, Steve, there's a whole bunch of options now for TV.
Yeah.
Ray, do y'all have fiber in your neighborhood?
Yeah, we do.
No wonder your Zoom connection's always flawless because you got fiber.
Yeah.
We got fiber. Hey, it does make a difference.
Yeah,
you
can tell when you're
such a good connection, we can almost see you eating, Ray, your chicken leg or whatever.
I'm having lunch here. I saw Tim was eating something in the last
popcorn.
In the last segment. I couldn't tell what it was, but it made me
I think popcorn's high fiber.
There you go.
It's good for you.
High fiber.
I think it is. I'm not mistaken.
Good for you.
Now, I don't put a lot of butter and salt on there, so I think
it's, kettle corn.
I think it's doing me some good. I don't know what, it's tasty, it's all I know.
That's right.
It's tasty. What are you talking? So a fiber is going around.
Yeah, it's just an internet.
Is it new technology?
Yeah, it's a faster internet connection. Instead of your traditional.
Is it like 5G?
Yeah, I mean it's fast like that, but they call it fiber because it's literally a fiber line instead of your traditional, I don't know, whatever kind of coax used to be run. It gets into engineering and all that, but. Fiber, basically the data travels very fast through fiber.
Gotcha.
So it's the latest and greatest.
Which makes internet TV, it's not buffering.
Yeah, high quality, big data limits.
Gotcha. Well, Allison and I, my wife, we just, we're in the direct TV. I mean, we're not moved over to that yet. We may
now,
get
back
there.
In the day, Tim, can you remember the rabbit ears? You know, the antenna on the top of the TV? Do you go
you
back
to
that
adjust
far?
Them.
I do. Yeah, you had to stand there holding it at a certain angle or else
the rabbit the ears folks. On top of the TV?
That's right, the rabbit
now, you're
ears.
Talking, right there, you're talking anything from 1970 back, right? Or maybe 75, I'm trying to think.
Yeah.
When you can still use antennas to get
it works.
Channels.
Sure. Over-the-air channels.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
You can.
But there was a day, Tim, when that's all you had, right? Before, quote, cable.
What was it, a handful of channels?
Yeah.
Well, probably three. If you had four channels and you could access it on an antenna, you were in high cotton.
But then you had the UHF channels that didn't come in as good, but there were a lot of those.
Right. spotty and scratchy.
Right?
You know,
now you had your rabbit ears on top of the TV.
Right. Right.
But then you also had the people who had the, because my grandparents had this, lived way out in the country, and they had the antenna.
Oh, the big one. Yeah, the real big one.
Yeah, the antenna that ran about 20 or 30 feet above the house.
Right, right, right. And, back in the day,
Well, during Christmas, when it was cold, you know, they would send me out there to change the, you know, it'd be freezing, and they'd send 10-year-old Timmy out there.
Timmy.
Go change the.
That's a good one. I haven't heard that yet. Timmy.
Go move the antenna, reposition well, or something.
They didn't always call me Timmy, but
I like it though. I think I'm going to tell my.
You got Timothy was my full name. Timmy, like Timmy and Lassie. You don't even know what that
sure.
is, Walker.
No, but I like Timmy.
But you go out there, you don't know what Timmy and Lassie. That means nothing to you.
No, I just said I like the name Timmy.
I know, but what I'm saying is, I'm asking you a cultural.
No, I do not know who that is.
If I say Timmy and Lassie, you don't have any idea what I'm talking about.
No.
Okay.
It's tragic. Tragic.
Yeah, what decade was that?
Today's youth.
And I mean, if it was like before I was born, there's no way
I'm going to say that's 50s TV, isn't it, Ray?
Yeah, 50s and early 60s. Yeah, Lassie and Timmy.
See, I'm born in 93, so like late 80s, early 90s, I might can remember
that's
people talking about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had to go out there and change the channel, hold the antenna, and turn it toward wherever we needed to go, and then.
You know what's weird to think about?
Freezing out there.
They'd be shouting out the door, a little bit more.
Usually it had to be shouted from the den down the hall. Right. Somebody there relay the message to you
that's
outside.
Right.
You know what's weird to think about is the difference between when Walker was born and you're talking about is the difference between when you were watching TV and the 30s.
Yeah, oh, man. That's true.
Which is crazy. Yeah.
But I know what the Little Rascals are, you know. That
but been you good. Didn't know what fiber was. So.
You know.
Well, there you go. There you go.
You just nail me.
Look.
Right there. You're not really not supposed to do that to your old man, quite frankly, especially this close to Christmas.
On live radio?
On live radio.
Live radio, right.
I'll get Kohl's for Christmas.
Okay. All right. You know what an old man is? Your old man? You know what that expression is? Again, back to the 40s and 50s.
Yeah,
right?
If you're citing a movie
that's what
from the 50s.
That's what you call your dad. It doesn't matter how old he is.
Yeah.
It's kind of disrespectful, really, but that's what they used
to say. Old man.
That's what they used to say. My old man. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Go, Steve.
You know, we played our share of Joe Biden gaffes on this, and sometimes they're pretty funny, and we kind of laugh, and, oh, he's losing his fastball. I came across a cut today that literally made me sweat a little bit, and I'm scared for this man's literal health. This was yesterday. As Joe Biden introduces himself at the Constitution Center in Philadelphia yesterday at a campaign speech, he had walked in from the car to the podium. Listen to Joe Biden and tell me what you think. This is cut three.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the nation's Constitution Center. I had the great privilege of being the guest leader of this outfit for a year. It's the appropriate place to make the speech I'm about to make.
That guy doesn't sound like he can make it up the steps of the Capitol to be sworn in, much less hold the 4 years of office.
What sounds was like that?
That was Joe Biden.
Couldn't
sounds
understand
like he's at the emergency room.
I know.
Yeah. Or just ran a mile before he got there.
That's why I'm saying I'm worried for his health.
Yeah, that breathing as if he just got done. I got off the treadmill and went to speak.
Well, is that when he had his mask on?
Nope. He had taken it off.
Oh, man.
Because he wore his mask.
He might have worn it in from the car or whatever, but.
Yeah.
Well, everybody can sound tired, especially.
Sure.
But my word, he sounds like he's out of breath right there almost.
I mean, yeah. And he went from the car to the.
He's just getting ready to deliver a speech.
Right. Right.
Huh?
That's actually scary.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah. It is. I don't know how you travel the world.
This is abuse of the elderly, what we're seeing here with Joe Biden.
Right.
It's abuse. The guy will not be able to, should he be elected, and I'm not going to vote for him, he will not be able to serve 1 year. You are voting for either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris.
Yes.
Huh?
So Tim, what's going to happen next Tuesday night, first debate, if he shows up like that?
I've said it on this program. If I were his advisors, I would not let him go to the debate. And you might say, well, Tim, that'd be a disaster. Well, I'm going to tell you the chances of it being a disaster with him going are greater than him with him not going.
Yeah, I think at this point the debates can either really hurt Biden or he can come out even. But I don't think there's any circumstance that he can go into a debate, Biden can, and come out on top with rave reviews of his debate performance. I just don't see how it's going to happen.
What do you think, Steve?
If I was Donald Trump's team and I heard that last bite, I'd have Donald Trump walk out onto the stage with one of those defibrillator paddle things that he, you know, just see, just in case I need it, Joe, I've got it. I'm right here.
Wow.
Well, there is a fine line. There's a fine line here because people don't like for you to make fun of people who can't help themselves.
Right.
Right. None of us like to see that.
Right.
Whether somebody is mentally retarded or. I guess that's not the appropriate word today, but you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
Or somebody is physically handicapped, or somebody has some other kind of personality defect. Some people are bipolar. So things that people can't help.
It's not something to be made fun of.
You shouldn't.
Isn't the right play for Trump next Tuesday? Isn't his play to go out there and just, number one, be himself, which is what he will do, and number two, be very aggressive and push Joe Biden.
Yes.
So, because if you just, in the normal debate, just push Joe Biden, you're going to have moments like this that are going to be cringeworthy.
Yeah, and focus on the issues because Trump does not need to get into Biden's memory lapses and things like that.
Those will be self-evident.
Those are evident. Everybody sees what's going on.
Yeah. Whether Biden may get up that morning feeling great. He may get the shot.
Yeah.
That Trump's talking about, which I won't say where Trump said he'll get it.
Did you miss that?
I'll tell you off the air, Ray.
Let's just say he'd have to bend over to get the shot.
Oh, yeah, Trump said he's going to get a shot somewhere before the debate.
In the rear vitamin shot or something like that?
Something to make him perform better.
Your mama wouldn't let you say this word.
Put him on his A game.
Got you.
What did you say, Walker?
Trump's talking about him getting a shot to boost his performance and his memory.
Yeah, but you're right. But it's fine line. People don't want to, you know, Trump didn't need to look over at him and go, Joe.
No.
Wake up, Joe.
He doesn't need to do something like that. But I think Biden could be having a good day. People in his condition can have good days and bad days.
Yeah.
So maybe he has a good day, and for the Biden camp, they're hoping just don't say I live in a refrigerator.
Yeah, these debates,
something like that.
These debates, just reading about them, unless of course CNN gives you the questions like they did with Hillary Clinton. But other than that, these debates seem to be pretty hard because you're in a new environment. It's just the moderator and the two people debating, and you're getting questions thrown at you that you are not supposed to know what's coming.
And it's Chris Wallace.
Yeah.
If I were Biden camp, I'd back out of this thing. I just would. I'd just back out of it.
Yeah.
I'd just say, I'm not debating Hitler. You know, if it means it costs me votes, so be it. But I'll look what he's doing with this Supreme Court nominee trying to ram it down our country's throats.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not debating this guy. He's illegitimate.
Yeah.
That's what you do if you're Biden in his camp.
That could still happen, couldn't it? He could do that.
And he could say, if Trump will withdraw the nominee,
then I'll debate. Yeah, there you go. I don't think that hurts him one bit with Democrats. It probably would hurt him. It potentially could hurt him with independent voters, so if there are any left out there.
Yeah.
But the risk he runs of getting up there and having a bad day mentally, and, I mean, you heard right there a while ago, it sounded like that guy was ready to hit the sack.
Mm-hmm.
Right, was that middle of the afternoon. And travel is exhausting, too.
Yeah.
For people, especially for people of his age, most people of his age, Travel, you travel 4 or 5 hours in a day, and then you try to go speak to a group with any energy and enthusiasm. It's rare that you get a 78-year-old person that has the ability to do that. So you're listening to today's issues on American Family Radio. Steve, next story.
You remember the town hall that President Trump had with uncommitted voters back last, I believe it was Tuesday? And so ABC thought that they would get together these people who weren't sure. They weren't decided on how they're going to vote, and they could peg some questions at Donald Trump and see what they thought. Maybe they'd come out away being a Trump fan. Maybe they wouldn't. Well, it turns out that at least two and probably more of these people were rabidly anti-Trump, posing as undecided voters. One's name was Lisa Black. She's a professor at Kutztown University. She tweeted out, "Good morning, Kamala Harris. I watched your announcement speech in Oakland. I'm so excited from the gate. You're supported by multicultural community. Thank you so much for taking this on. When you campaign in Philly and Allentown, I'll be there volunteering." Undecided voter.
Wait a minute. Now, this is that town hall with George Stephanopoulos?
Yes.
On ABC television, and ABC purported these people who were asking President Trump questions to be independents, undecided voters.
Uncommitted, right.
And what you're saying is we're finding out now that at least two of them were, any kind of research would have revealed that,
not even close.
What's not even close?
That these people were not even close to being undecided.
Okay, so they either lied to ABC or ABC was in cahoots.
Right.
To act like these people were undecided, knowing that they were anti-Trump.
I don't know which one. I wouldn't put the second one past them at all.
And the questions at these town halls to date, there was a CNN town hall with Biden, and then there was an ABC town hall with President Trump. But you look at the – and I don't mind – nobody minds hard questions. I actually like it because it makes it worth your time. But the CNN questions were just softball after softball. And then you go over to ABC, and they're asking President Trump. The questions are presented in a manner that President Trump is automatically defending his record before the question's even done.
Well, yeah. The mainstream media in this country, and this includes the social media giants, but the mainstream media in this country, they hate President Trump's guts. And they're not even hiding it anymore. So they set up things. They work with the Biden campaign.
Right.
Maybe not directly, but indirectly, so that he can have the questions in advance, so that they can put the answers on the teleprompter. Mm-hmm. We've all seen those examples.
Right.
So somebody like Anderson Cooper at CNN, he knows if he does anything to challenge Biden to make him look bad, where Biden looks bad,
yes,
he's going to get killed by his colleagues in the CNN newsroom.
Yeah, and that'll be the last Biden interview he gets.
Yeah, and all the celebrities are going to come down on his head.
Yep.
So Anderson Cooper's sitting there going, I'm not going to be the guy who helps bring down Biden's numbers because I put him in an awkward position. So I'm just going to babysit here, basically. Now, Chris Wallace is not going to do that. You may not like Chris Wallace, and he's no fan of President Trump's.
Right.
But he's a tough interviewer.
Yeah, and if Biden and
he's not going to hold back on Biden.
Yeah, I agree.
Huh? So I would be worried. I'd be really worried if I were the Biden handlers, knowing my guy is going to be up against Chris Wallace. Because another thing is, remember this, about a month ago, when was it, five or 6 weeks ago, President Trump sat down for a one-on-one hour with Chris Wallace. I wouldn't want to do that.
No.
Maybe 10 minutes.
Right.
But not an hour back and forth with Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace has been asking Joe Biden to do the same thing for 4 weeks, and they won't do it because he knows he can't do it.
Right.
He can't do it. He can't handle it. Trump said at the time, you asked Biden to do what I just did, Chris, and he'll be curled up in the fetal position begging for his mama.
Right.
You remember that? In classic Trump language.
Yep.
So the media is just, it's embarrassing, but they're just all in for Biden. And if it means sacrificing any kind of journalistic integrity they were supposed to have, they really don't care anymore because they've got to get Trump out.
Yep.
Go ahead, Steve.
All right, let's turn, if we can, to the COVID restrictions. And I know we've been talking a lot about churches, but New Mexico, the governor there, her name is Michelle Lujan Grisham, she has declared that, according to her health officials, schools can reopen at any time after Labor Day that the district thinks it's safe. But here's the restrictions. Public schools can reopen at 50% capacity. Private schools have to limit their capacity to 25%.
So, why the difference?
Well, what they say is, and this is their public education secretary, Ryan Stewart, says it's because the state considers private schools to operate more like retail businesses than like schools, which is just hogwash.
Yeah, not true.
What does that even mean? They operate more like retail businesses.
I don't know. Let me read. This is how confusing it gets. This is the quote from Stewart. When we've talked about public schools versus private schools, the core data around safety reopening in general, I think, is the gating criteria as Dr. Scarce has laid out to make sure that the public health conditions are ripe.
What state is this again?
New Mexico.
Yeah, see, this shouldn't even be a topic of conversation. Meaning,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bring
up. No, I'm talking about the orders and whether we can allow 25% or 50% into schools in New Mexico. Coronavirus, for the most part, has come and gone when it comes to a public health emergency. There's no state in the U.S. that should be still having people, any businesses or institutions or private schools, at 25% capacity, especially for an age group that is at very, very low risk, extremely low risk when it comes to coronavirus.
I don't know how many states have already been going back to school. I know Mississippi already been going back to school where we live. What about you in Kansas, Missouri?
Kansas, they're back to school.
I'm not hearing anything about, oh, my goodness, we got to shut the schools down.
No.
This COVID thing is going crazy.
Because it's not a problem. Huh? Yeah, it's not a problem. I mean, there was a
it's not a problem any more than the flu, for example.
Yeah, and there was a all the major universities, there was like 15 major universities within the first few weeks of opening colleges released their numbers, their COVID numbers, and there was like out of these top 10 or 15 schools, these major universities, there was like 25,000 COVID positive tests. And zero hospitalizations out of 25,000 students across the country, zero hospitalizations.
It doesn't affect children or young people. I mean, extremely rare that it does. That's what we're, by that I mean anybody probably under 20, 20, 22.
Yeah. So, Steve, I hope that private school sues the governor.
Yeah, you know, I poked my head into Abe's office on my way to the studio here and just ran that by him. He looked shocked, as he should, and said, that's not constitutional.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I hope
so.
So
you're
too.
Treating the private schools differently than the public schools just because you don't like the private schools.
Apparently.
And you're the governor. That's what it sounds like.
Right? Yeah. It won't surprise you that it's a Democrat governor either.
No, that doesn't surprise me, Steve. You're right. You're right about that. All right. Thank you, Ray.
You bet. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Bart Walker.
Yes, sir.
My thanks to Fred, to Brent, our producer, Sandy Rios, and Frank Turek. We appreciate you listening to American Family Radio, and we hope you'll stay with us throughout the day. As far as this program, we shall return tomorrow, and we look forward to seeing you then. Take care, everybody.